Good morning, my friends. This is missionary James Robinette. I'm a missionary with Mission East Africa, Uganda. You can learn more about our ministry at www.missionafricajk.net. Our contact number is 0782-652-143. Today, by the gracious will of our good Lord, we are looking further at David's life, and we're going to see in instances of the Bible, in these instances in David's life, that God powerfully blessed David, his servant, in that he was appointed to many afflictions and therefore to many great deliverances in his life. David was finally delivered from all affliction as he passed into the presence of the great and good Lord, the Lord of creation, the God of creation, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so, David, blessed David, godly David, a sinner redeemed by Christ, David, is delivered from all sin, from all evil, from all trouble, and is now enjoying the blessed presence of the Almighty God, where there is absolutely no trouble. And so we have many wonderful lessons to learn in the life of David from his example in these instances that we find in the Holy Scripture. Praise God. Instances of grace. And so, my friends, we want to see today that David is delivered from his sins. He is delivered from all trials, all afflictions. We are defining affliction generally in this section of verses now as meaning trouble. David is delivered from trouble by God over and over and over again. And as we said last Lord's Day, he is delivered from many types of troubles. Last Lord's Day, we saw that as a youth, David is delivered from the immediate danger in personal combat with the giant Goliath. We also saw that previously he had been delivered from imminent danger as a bear and a lion attacked the sheep that he was guarding. And so David's response in faith was that he killed the lion and the bear with his hands. Amen. We also saw that as David, in faith, overcame the Philistine giant in personal combat, that God brought a great deliverance, a great victory for the nation of Israel. Praise God. Amen. And so David, in a moment, becomes a national hero, a national figure, a national deliverer, and a man noted to be a true man of faith, though he is still but a youth. As a young man that God has indeed blessed with faith and with his very presence, David has become a great deliverer to the people. Amen. And we looked at verses in 1 Samuel 17 about David's conquest over the giant. Today we want to begin in 1 Samuel chapter 24 in verse 10 to see another deliverance that David was blessed to experience, to enjoy, and also to see this time of affliction that he experienced prior to his deliverance. Again, we want to be encouraged. David experienced many types of trials, therefore many types of affliction, and therefore the deliverance came in various ways to him. And so 1 Samuel chapter 24, verse 10. "Look, this day your eyes have seen that the Lord delivered you into my hand in the cave, and someone urged me to kill you, but my eyes spared you. And I said, I will not stretch out my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed." And verse 11, "Moreover, my father, see, yes, see the corner of your robe in my hand, for in that I cut off the corner of your robe and did not kill you, know and see that there is neither evil nor rebellion in my hand, and I have not sinned against you. Yet you hunt my life to take it, let the Lord judge between you and me, and let the Lord avenge me on you, but my hand shall not be against you. That's through verse 12. Praise God. My friends, let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you again for your mighty grace, your great power, your great ability to govern all things, Lord. And it is no accident when we suffer troubles as believers in Christ in this world, for the world is yours, and we are your people, and all things are yours, and you govern all things in your great power, because you are God. Praise God. And we are but creatures, and we live in the creation that you are high and above. Praise God. And that you govern, Lord. And so we thank you, Lord, for afflictions and times of trouble, though often we complain in them. We are not mindful of you in them. We experience the difficulty, distress, and pain, the pressure, yes, depression, that is so difficult for us. And yet in this, Lord, though we often fail to thank you, you are working for our much greater good. These events, through these painful circumstances, you are perfecting us and shaping us. And in doing so, you are showing us the greatest possible mercy. You are making us holy through our afflictions, that we might be saved finally. And then, God, you are working to deliver us from every affliction. And so it is amazing to us, Lord. You have delivered us, and you are delivering us, and you will deliver us, and we shall be finally delivered from all sin and trouble. Praise God. Thank you for that great work, Lord. Help us to understand it more fully today in the life of David, and so understand how it is that you work in our lives. And through this knowledge, change us, enable us to cling to you, to look to you, and to know more fully in our troubles that you are the good Lord, and that in affliction we are blessed with the great possibility of obeying you and finding much good for ourselves and for many others too. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. And so, my friends, here in 1 Samuel 24, we see another remarkable instance of David's deliverance. Here, David, as a young man, he is quite a bit older than he was then at the time that he slew Goliath, but some years have passed and he is older now. And David, the great warrior of Israel, has come into contact with an enemy, King Saul, who previously favored him but has turned against him and in fact seeks his destruction, because Paul is convinced that David is after his throne. And so Saul, we understand him to be an unbelieving man. We understand that the Bible record is that he did not come to faith. He died in his sins. Saul, an agent of evil, a wicked man, has come to oppress and to kill David. But in this instance that I just read for you, in a cave, David comes into the closest contact with Saul, in fact, cuts the corner of his robe off, and then brings to Saul's attention the truth that he is not against the king, that he has shown mercy to the king, that it was in his power to kill him, but that he has chosen not to, and calls upon God to judge between him and King Saul, declaring that his hand will not be against King Saul. Though King Saul would kill him, his eye has spared the king. He will not stretch out his hand against the king, because the king is the Lord's anointed. Now, Saul has sought David's harm, but David responds with mercy and good to Saul. Now, it's interesting that godly David is pricked in his heart later, because he has even cut the corner of Saul's robe off. He he sees guilt in this. He sees the evil intention in his heart. He must have felt that it would have been better for him not to have done that. I'm sure he confessed his sin to God because of the evil intention to at least teach Saul a lesson as he cuts the robe off of the corner. The corner off of the robe, I should say. And so David has conviction of sin, but once again in this affliction, being hunted by the king, David is faithful to God, and God delivers him from the hand of the king. Now, as we track back in 1 Samuel chapter 2, 1 Samuel chapter 17, I should say, and that's where we left off last time as we talked about David's dealings with the giant, we see this pattern. In fact, we see constantly that David comes into trouble, into affliction. Chapter 18 tells us that Saul begins to resent David. He becomes suspicious of David. And Saul actually casts a spear at David. David is in this affliction, this time of physical danger. The king, the all-powerful king, has actually tried to kill him to pin David against the wall. But David escapes twice from Saul's presence. And so we see that God is working to deliver David because God has a great purpose in David's afflictions and in David's deliverances. Praise God. And so Saul becomes afraid of David. Saul makes a demand of David that he will be able to marry his wife if he will kill 100 Philistines and bring back the evidence of their death as a dowry. In this, the Bible is clear that Saul's intention, again, is that David would die at the hand of the Philistines. And so David has a mortal, hateful enemy, Saul, King Saul, who has the resources of the military at his command. And he begins to use the military to persecute David. We find here that Saul persecutes David, and so his hatred for David is expressed in very obvious ways, so that he must flee for his life. He is let down out of an upper room by a rope-like device, which is composed of tied blankets that are tied together. And so he runs for his life, again, in the greatest of trouble, a near-death experience, again, at the hands of Saul. And yet God delivers David. And we find in chapter 20 that Saul's very own son, Jonathan, then tells David of his loyalty. He sees that David is not an enemy of his father, that David in sincerity is not seeking the throne, that David, in fact, loves Jonathan as a brother. David's heart is for the king, and he seeks to serve the king. Praise God. David, by this time, has been brought into the very family of Saul. And so Jonathan recognizes the sincerity of David and recognizes the uprightness, the rectitude of David's character. And so it is, though, that Saul's enmity against David is confirmed, and David again flees. This time in chacter 21, he flees to Nob, and he goes there to Ahimelech the priest, and there he receives the sword of Goliath from the priest, and he receives bread. The showbread is given to him to eat. He is without food. And so it is that David then goes away from Nob, and he must flee to Gath. He flees to the Philistines. Again, a great affliction, especially for a believer, that he must flee from Israel, the people of God, for his life, because his life is jeopardized by the king And he must flee to the ungodly pagan Philistines for refuge. And so it is, you might remember, that Saul later comes and destroys the priests of Nob in his rage and hatred, a great, great sin, because they had helped David in this way. And so David must flee to Gath. And we find here a rather remarkable instance of another affliction. David is brought before Achish, the king of Gath, when he flees to Gath to the Philistines from Saul's hand. And the king summons David before him. Achish knows that David has been a mortal enemy to the Philistines. And Achish declares the song of the Jews. Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands or ten thousands. And so verse 12 of chapter 21 tells us of David's affliction now. He takes Achish's words to heart. He is very much afraid of Achish the king. And so verse 13, an interesting verse, tells us, so he, that's David, changed his behavior before them, pretended madness in their hands, scratched on the doors of the gate, and let his saliva fall down on his beard. Verse 14, then Achish said to his servants, look, you see the man is insane. Why have you brought him to me? Have I need of madmen that you have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house? And so David is delivered through this pretension. He pretends madness, even to the point of acting in such a strange way. And so he is delivered. Achish then casts him out of his presence, if you will, in a remarkable deliverance. Again, God is working through this, even through David's pretension to deliver David, the man of God. Praise God. Now, we find in 1 Samuel, as we look at David's life, that David's band grows stronger. That is, that men who are discontented with either King Saul or their condition, whatever that condition may be in Israel, come to him. They have heard about him, obviously, that he would receive them. If they were in distress, in debt, they were discontented, they gathered to David. And so God is actually forming in this an army. And so David becomes the commander of this, at first, small band, small army, but it is a growing band, a growing army, as more and more men come to David and become soldiers under his command. We find instances in 1 Samuel of mighty deliverance from great affliction. David fights and so is in personal combat many times, but God constantly spares his life. And that's a remarkable thing in itself, that he would fight so constantly and yet live and not be overcome by the enemy. And so it is that David, in these times, also becomes a deliverer. We find in chapter 23, for instance, that he delivers the city of Keilah. Praise God. And David saves the city. And so it is that the men of Keilah are attacked by the Philistines. David comes to them. He rescues them. David inquires of the Lord, will the men of Keilah deliver me into the hands of Saul? The Lord answers, they will deliver you. And so David now needs deliverance from the men of Keilah. And he arises with about 600 men and departs from Keilah. And they go wherever they can. Again, a mighty deliverance. Saul had been proceeding to Keilah to destroy David, but at word that David has fled Keilah, Saul halts the expedition. David lives in the affliction of living in the wilderness, in mountains, in the caves, in strongholds, and yet finds deliverance in this rather difficult situation. It must have been quite a trying situation. These events take place in the course of some years. finds deliverance from Saul in the wilderness. As we saw in verse 24 at the beginning of today's sermon, David spares Saul there in the wilderness of En-Gedi in the cave. He doesn't kill Saul. And so it is that this cycle of affliction and difficulty and deliverance is just repeated over and over. In 1 Samuel 25, Samuel dies. Again, another troublesome time because the prophet, the man of God who assisted Israel, has departed, and there isn't another prophet like Samuel who will arise at this time. David finds a great deliverance in a time of trouble in chapter 25, in that he and his men are living in the area of Carmel, and they are in need of provision. And so it is that they act as protectors for a man by the name of Nabal. They protect his sheep. They don't attack to kill the shepherds and steal the sheep, but indeed they protect the shepherds, and they do a good deed towards Nabal. Nabal's response to this, when David comes to him asking for water, bread, and meat, he is in need of these items in affliction, is that Nabal scorns him and refuses him. And so it is that David plans then to kill Nabal and becomes angry with Nabal. Now, David is delivered from that temptation in this affliction in his time of need, in that Abigail, Nabal's wife, brings him needed food. He had requested food. She brings bread and skins of wine and sheep and roasted grain and clusters of raisins and handfuls of cakes. And she comes to David and she explains that Nabal is a foolish man, that he has acted wrongly, but that in her wisdom, she will submit to David, and she begs for mercy for Nabal. Now, in this, David recognizes Nabal's scorning for the real foolishness that it is. In fact, Nabal means fool, and so the man is named a fool. He has played the fool. Abigail, his wife, brings a deliverance for him. David doesn't come in anger and sin to kill him, again, another difficulty, but David is stopped in this, and then David meets Abigail. He will later marry her, and so it is that David departs from Abigail and doesn't harm Nabal, but the Lord deals with Nabal. We find that he later, soon after this, dies. And so it is that in chapter 26, David once again spares King Saul. Praise God. And so we see these deliverances over and over and over again. In 1 Samuel 21, in verses 10 through 15, we see David's great deliverance from the very Philistines, from the king Achish. We looked at some verses there. In 1 Samuel 29, in verses 1 through 11, once again, we see a great deliverance from the Philistines. Praise God. Chapter 29, verses 1 through 11. And here it is that David has actually joined ranks with the Philistines. He has deceived a Philistine king. He has pretended to be a servant of a Philistine king, and so has become a pretended ally to the Philistines, but God delivers David from a great affliction as the Philistines will go in war with Saul and David seeks to not fight with Saul, and God brings a mighty deliverance about a deliverance for David from having to serve in the Philistine army and go against Saul, in that the Philistine kings recognized the potential danger in David's joining with them in battle, and their fear and concern is that David would turn against them. Indeed, David has not been true to the Philistines. He has been raiding the cities of that area and killing their citizens. He has actually been an enemy, pretending to be an ally. The king that he has been serving has been deceived. The other Philistine kings recognize that David's joining them in battle would be a great mistake. They forbid him. They tell him to depart. He departs marvelously, wonderfully. Isn't it just amazing what God does through these circumstances? David leaves and remains in safety, though the Philistines will come against Saul and kill Saul and Jonathan and Saul's other sons, and they will defeat the Jews. David is spared from this great defeat, possible death, through this deliverance of God, through this mighty working of God. Praise the Lord. And so it is that David escapes this awful judgment, and David becomes the king of Israel in Saul's place. Saul dies, but David becomes the king. Now, as we continue to look at these deliverances, again, remember that we said before that God saves David from many different types of trials, many different types of afflictions. In 2 Samuel, in chapter 3, verse 1, we see that God saves David from this affliction, slightly different than the others. In the others, he is directly warring with Saul. In this instance, God saves him from Saul's household. The southern kingdom, Judah, has been separated from the northern kingdom. Saul's people in the north have separated themselves from David's. These two opposing nations now, if you will, one led by Saul's family, the other led by David, are at war with one another, and yet God delivers David once again. In 2 Samuel 8, in chapter 8, verses 1 through 18, we see that King David is used by God to subdue many nations. Praise God. 2 Samuel 10, 1 through 19, the Ammonites and the Syrians are subdued. That is, they are defeated by the leadership and by the command, the military might of Israel under David. That is, of Judah, actually, under David. Now, again, in all of these different types of afflictions, David is in nearer proximity to danger, actual combat. As a king later, he is the commander-in-chief. He's not in actual battle himself, usually. He is commanding from a distance. We see in that relative position of safety, yet God is using David to bring deliverance to the people of God. Amen. And so David is also saved from a different type of affliction, in that in 2 Samuel chapter 12 and 13, David is delivered from his sin of murder and adultery. There, Nathan the prophet says that he won't die. God has put his sin away. He has committed adultery with Uriah's wife. He has murdered Uriah, the husband, through setting him up to die in a battle. He has planned and brought about his murder. God has seen this. God has exposed it through Nathan the prophet. But again, in this great affliction, in his sin, with the consequence of death, God spares David. And Nathan again says God has put away David's sin. Now, my friends, in this instance, we can put ourselves in David's shoes again and see that perhaps we haven't committed actual adultery and murder. I certainly hope not. But even if you have, if you are a believer in Christ, God has, like David, put your great sin away. And God will spare your life in terms of the truth that you have everlasting life. You have forgiveness of sins. And so, wonderfully, all of us are sinners. And we are all delivered from our sin because through the blood of Jesus, God has put away our sin. Praise God wonderfully. Glory and praise to the Lord forever and ever. Amen. And so we see in the record, the Bible record of David's life, that Absalom, his own son, comes against him, but God again delivers him. And so Absalom's rebellion is put down. Absalom then seeks to usurp the kingdom, to come against and kill his father. God delivers David from this great affliction, though he has to flee from Jerusalem. Adonijah rises up against his father, and though David secures the throne for Solomon, Adonijah's uprising is also put down. Sheba's conspiracy, 2 Samuel 20, verses 1 through 26, a great rebellion against David, again, possibly resulting in his death, his destruction, results in a great deliverance for David. So in all of these ways, God faithfully delivers the afflicted David from his trials. Yes, even the greatest trials, perhaps directly related to his own personal sin, but David is brought through affliction, through trial and testing, into triumph. And so we want to leave this sermon series at this point now, that is the glorious truth that wonderfully our God is doing the same for us, my friends. And so let us endure our trials, our afflictions, our troubles in various forms, whether we struggle with health issues or financial problems, with issues of poverty, with needs of various types, whether we struggle with problems in relationships, in friendships, even with fellow Christians in the church, whether we struggle with life-threatening situations, disease, whether we are facing great dangers in various types, perhaps even some of us who are listening are soldiers today, and there is the possibility of you're facing imminent danger soon in a situation as a soldier. In all of these various trials, in all of these various difficulties, as you struggle with your own sin, as you are harmed by the sins of others, as you struggle with family issues, marriage issues, struggles with your own children, perhaps struggles with the government, old age, struggles with your friends and allies, struggles with your own enemies. Praise God. In all of these things, for those in Christ, those joined to Christ by faith in his mighty name, there is a promised and sure deliverance. Our deliverer is coming. Praise God. And our deliverer is working constantly to deliver us from our every affliction. And so let us be faithful to God. Let us seek him in his word. Let us be holy in heart and in hand. Let us be prayerful. Let us be true and faithful Christians. Let us resist temptation. Let us obey God. Let us draw near and love God and love our neighbor as ourselves. And as we do, as we make applications in these ways, as we trust in Christ and repent of our sins, we will find that we enjoy fellowship with God, and we will find that we are enjoying deliverance from all of our troubles. That is the certain promise of God to his dear children. Amen. Father, thank you for this series. Bless these truths to the hearts of my hearers. We give you thanks and we give you praise, Lord. In Jesus' name, deliver us, O God, we pray. Amen. And so, my friends, until next Lord's Day morning, may the Lord bless you.